In any case, there is another aspect of this question which has to be noticed, and it is what she said. Each language gives you a certain vibration and a certain development of faculty, which is like Sanskrit, for example. The faculty of pronunciation is best achieved in Sanskrit. The Shuddha Ucharana, the purity of pronunciation, is greatly emphasized in Sanskrit, as never. Like even, like le in French, L-E. Now, in Sanskrit, when le is written full, it is le. But when you want to make half, lil. And now there is a word called lil. There also, it ends with L-E. But pronunciation in English is lil. But in Sanskrit, if you write lil, then la has to be halant, has to be half. So there is a great precision in Sanskrit pronunciation, and there are many other emphases in Sanskrit language which are peculiar to Sanskrit language. Thirdly, there is also another aspect. Any student who can speak four languages will already be a foreigner in the world.
Forerunner.
He will be a forerunner in the world. Anybody who can speak these four languages, if you can make him proficient in four languages, even if he doesn't know anything else, this itself is sufficient for him to be a foreigner in the world. This is another aspect, I mean, of education, and therefore we have to look at it from all these points of view. What capacities we want to give to our children, what will be his standing, his confidence. A child who knows so many languages, his confidence itself is very great. The contribution that language learning can give to the child is something not sufficiently understood. As Sri Aurobindo says, we have to realize that no clear thinking is possible without a clear mastery over language. So even for clear thinking, mastery over language is important. So our normal practices, language is taught very perfunctorily. You know, there is no attainment of mastery of a language. In fact, in all pedagogically today, you go anywhere in Delhi or in America, mastery over language is not emphasized. What happens is that while teaching language, we switch over to literature. And our assumption is that by reading lot of literature, you master the language. But if you ask certain questions, like reporting what I said, suppose somebody says, now you report his speech. You may be a good literary artist, but reporting my speech accurately is a different capacity. And unless you have a good mastery over the language, not over literature, but language, you cannot report my speech very correctly. Now, therefore there is a difference between learning language through literature and learning language through language skills. And this is pedagogically very well, very much neglected. In fact, mother once wrote a long letter on this subject, and she offended many people who are teaching literature through that letter. For about a year, the whole controversy raged over that letter of the mother, when mother said, literature is only concentrated upon throat center.
Only upon?
Throat center. This is in the... upon the throat center. It is, throat center, according to Sri Aurobindo, is for externalizing intelligence. Intelligence which is concentrated upon externalizing consciousness. And in order to be literary, you have to learn how to find novel and original ideas. And for the sake of novelties, you enter into a field which is not necessarily sublime. Now, this had created a lot of controversy in the ashram school, because many professors of literature wrote to the mother saying, what mother, Sri Aurobindo has written on literature. Because it is true, Sri Aurobindo has written so much on literature and has spoken of the importance of literature, there are many professors of literature. One professor of Shantiniketan had come. He was a devotee of the mother. And for 1 year he was so sad that mother had written this. That it is denigration of literature. Whereas Sri Aurobindo had spoken so much, and he had even said, poetry, music and art are the perfect education of the soul. And but you know, mother's statements, as she has said, there is no dogma about her. She is a force in action. It is to counteract many people's exaggerated notions of literature, and she wanted to put everything in balance. But for people to write to mother saying, oh, Sri Aurobindo has written this, it was an irony actually, because to tell mother what Sri Aurobindo has written on literature. Anyway, I feel that these four languages, how to emphasize them, not to make them compulsory, but to how to emphasize these four languages, is a matter of curricular research. I feel that there should be, I don't know, Mita and Tapas are not here, but I think Mita is working on this subject also quite seriously, she has shown me. I think this research requires to be, mother told me once that you should teach four languages simultaneously. You take a word and say this in English, this in French, this in Tamil, this in Sanskrit. Simultaneously, in Italian so and so. In Spanish this way, etc. I think it also makes languages much easier. 50% of English words are French. Or vice versa.
More.
Or even more. It's a fact.
Games are played at kindergarten and...
Yeah, that is good. We lose because we have many subjects. It's a tyranny of subjects that prevents us from cultivating languages at a higher level. It's a fact, I know it. Why is it that we don't give so much of introduction to languages? Because we feel he must learn mathematics, science, history, geography, all this. Now there is a school of thought which says that first 8 years children should learn only languages. This is a school of thought. Not that I agree with it entirely. But there's a great force in it. According to this school of thought, first 8 years should be devoted only to languages, because they say that if your languages are good, other things you can learn very easily afterwards.
You have to teach something to teach language, so of course you're teaching subjects as well as language.
That is also true.
The first 8 years would be...
Yes, that is also true. Language. Yes, that is also true.
Teaching something. In French.
So this is also part of curricular research.
You've given us now so many different ideas. There are faculties, and this is only faculties of only languages.
Sorry.
No, I mean, something concrete.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But it's a very wide...
No, I'm giving this concreteness first of all, that these four languages kindly emphasize in our curriculum. And kindly emphasize mental calcul. Mother has spoken of mental calculation. Not mathematics. Mathematics is a different subject. It's not calcul. Mother made a distinction. She said, calcul ce n'est pas mathématique. Calcul is not mathematics. And so mother said, at the lower stages, you emphasize language and calcul. Now, she has not said further on this subject, but I would say that in the curriculum of the first 8 years, you should give a great emphasis on learning four languages and calcul, four operations of arithmetic. Because these four operations are actually a real training of the mind. The mind actually works best when mathematical problems are given. All the faculties of the mind of analysis, the left-hand faculties, they develop best. So this calcul is very important as a basis for mathematics. Then higher mathematics can be learned later on. So my suggestion is four languages and calcul, plus anything else that the child wants. These two things to be emphasized at this level, in addition to this spinal cord. And on the right hand wing, lots of stories. You give literature, but mainly through stories, through drama, through recitation of poetry, and through creative expressions, drawing, and through music and through dance. These, I would say, you emphasize strongly in the first 8 years. Plus, whatever child wants to learn, let him learn. You can allow him anything else. He wants to do lot of mathematics even at the lower level, fine. If he wants to do lot of physiology, let him do that. He wants to do lot of physics even at the how and why, for example. Many questions of how and why can be introduced at the lower level. They include geography, physics, chemistry, lots of questions, only through how and why. And then as a result, if he wants to read on physics, he can read. He can be helped. It is optional. But what you emphasize is basically what I told you just now. The spinal cord of this, to know oneself and to learn, to control oneself, then four languages and calcul, plus stories, dramas, recitations, dance, and any creative drawing and so on. These are to be emphasized in the first 8 years.
Up to 14 years.
Plus anything that he wants to do, in addition to this. But these are to be emphasized. Anything else as a child wants to do, it should be encouraged. It's for encouragement. And even at the level of 14, if some gifted children want to do some optional subjects, real study, you should allow him. And should be facility should be given. So curriculum should be of such a nature that this emphasis, this encouragement and this kind of optionality is available. Well, this is my reading at present, but I would like to invite people who want to make us this curriculum. In addition to this, I would emphasize two subjects which are not normally emphasized at this stage, and that is astronomy and geography. You see, apart from mathematics, which I said is a great mental gymnastics, as far as the empirical science is concerned, nothing is more concrete to the child except as astronomy and geography, from the point of concreteness. And these two subjects are normally not taught, except in a very general way. You speak about stars and galaxies and so on, but nothing more than that. But astronomy would be a very good subject of study. In fact, in Indian system of education, Jyotisha, that is astronomy, was given the highest importance. It was right from the childhood, Jyotisha was taught to everybody, astronomy. So this is my suggestion, and
we'll continue this dialogue onwards.
When I come back again, if there is a group of people who are preparing syllabus or curriculum, or if all of us join together like this, I'll be very happy if we all can frame, if people can bring some of their ideas. In fact, I have requested Siyaj is here. I told him to prepare his own. You know, he's a physicist himself.
Right.
I had a good talk with him. And I have told him that you just give me your autobiographical development of study of physics. You know, one of the best ways of learning, of preparing curriculum, is to take biographies of some individuals. How they learned a given subject. What was the curve of their development. And if you compare 3, 4, 5 such biographies, you get a good idea as to how to develop. Instead of discussing in theoretical manner, you take a biography. How you learned music, for example. I don't know if you know music or not. or how you learned art, for example. If I ask her, how you learned art in your life, if you give a biographical account, it will be a very interesting study. Seriously, if you can bring next time when you come, I would like to come to only reading of the papers by individuals, how I learned certain things, by what stages.
We have a discussion on the core syllabus.
This also, yes.
This can be the subject.
Yes,
of the next,
certainly. Please do it. So when I come next time, let us continue. If you all agree, I'll be happy if all are present, because I want this to be participants of everybody. We all, it's a learning process for all of us.